Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And by the gracious will of the Lord, it is my joy to look to the Word of God with you once again this Lord's Day morning. We are continuing in our verse-by-verse exposition of the book of Ephesians. Today, once again, we are in chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Please turn with me there in your Bibles as you are able to, and soon we will receive the Word of God, the Holy Word of God. Praise God. He is worthy and gracious, powerful and awesome, great in all of His ways, and He is the God who liberates His people from sin and misery, from death and hell. Glory to Him forever and ever. Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the one true and living God who is three divine persons, the true God. Glory to His name. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143, and you can learn more about our ministry at missionafricajk.blogspot.ug. That's missionafricajk.blogspot.ug. Praise God. And so, my friends, let us receive the Word of God now. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. And verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Praise God. Dear friends, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your rich, powerful word that feeds the souls of your people, that blesses us in every respect, that brings your grace to us and upon us. And we thank you for this living word in which you declare to us the truth that your people have been made the bondservants of Christ, the very slaves of Christ, and that you command and call us to do the will of God from our hearts in all that we do. Praise you, Lord, and praise you that as bondservants, as slaves of Christ, we are free indeed. And so bless the teaching once again today. First of all, bless your holy word to us, this powerful living word. And we pray that you will have your glory in the church and that you will have your glory in this meeting as Christians meet to receive the word of God and as others to meet, that you would have mercy upon the others who are not saved people, not yet the slaves of Christ, that they too may be joined to Christ and find in that their liberty, freedom, their eternal life and blessing. And we ask these things for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. And so, my friends, in this section of verses, Paul is dealing with the issue of submission of bondservants, that's a word that really means slaves, to their masters. And as I've shared with you before, we will take a look at this issue of slavery, the morality of slavery eventually, but today we're continuing to talk about spiritual slavery. And so with these truths in mind, let us now turn to the book of Romans chapter 6, and I want to begin reading in verse 15 now. And I want to read through this section of verses which deals with this issue of spiritual slavery, beginning in verse 15, the New King James Version. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And let me share with you as we begin this morning to look to the Word of God, the thoughts of A.W. Pink, a Christian writer and author and minister. And he says simply, though man is a slave of sin, it is a voluntary servitude, and therefore it is inexcusable. This truth is based upon these verses in Romans chapter 6 and in other verses in the Bible that declare that the unsaved man is a slave of sin, and that this slavery to sin is a voluntary act on the behalf of the sinner. And so this slavery to sin, this purposefully sinning against God, this engagement with evil is therefore inexcusable because sinners choose to sin in this regard. Praise God. And so that truth helps us to understand these verses in Romans 6 a bit better, I believe, because we see here that as Paul deals with the issue of spiritual slavery, we see that men have sinned against God and in this sense have brought themselves into a state of slavery to sin and its consequences, to death, misery, and hell. And so it isn't that God took men and made them captive to sin. No, man made himself a captive to sin, a slave of sin, in his willful rebellion against God. And we have all shared in the sin of Adam, and we have all continued in his sin. We have, in this sense, extenuated Adam's sin. And so we are responsible for this condition in which we live as unsaved people. But remarkably, in God's grace, God ends this spiritual slavery to sin and brings his people into a state of blessed servitude, spiritual slavery to Christ. Amen. Praise God. And last week, I shared thoughts with you by the great writer and minister, Martin Lloyd-Jones, about these verses. And my wife listens to these radio sermons carefully. In fact, she is a good critic, and I mean that in a good sense. She listens carefully. She helps me to understand if people are able to grasp what I am trying to communicate in these sermons. And she shared with me that last week's teaching was a bit unclear to her, and so I took more time with her last Lord's Day, and we looked at these truths. And I kind of broke it down more simply. And so if my wife was a bit unclear about these things last week, then perhaps you were too. And my hope now is to clarify the things I said last week, and then we'll continue and build on those truths as we see them here in Romans chapter 6. And so in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 15, Paul declares that because a true believer is not under the law, but under grace, that is, he is under the control, the dominion of grace, because God has brought him by his grace. God has brought him through the working of his Holy Spirit into the spiritual kingdom of grace, into the kingdom of God. And because that has happened, it is not possible that the believer continues to sin willfully against God, to sin habitually against God, because they have been translated into the kingdom of grace. Before that, the unbeliever was under the dominion or control of the law. And the law, which controlled him, condemned him because he did not obey the law. And the law's requirement for the man under the law is that he meet it perfectly. If the man bound under the law for righteousness sins once, then he is disqualified under the law, by the law. It is not possible for him to be righteous. He is, in fact, seen by the law, declared to be unrighteous. And so the man under the law, controlled under the dominion, under the condemnation, the penalty of the law, is a man who is unrighteous and therefore unacceptable to God. But under grace, we are made acceptable to God because the perfect righteousness of Christ, that is, Jesus Christ perfectly obeyed the law of God in every respect, is counted as our righteousness. And so we are freed from the condemnation of the law. We are counted righteous under grace, and we are liberated and freed now to obey God and to keep the precious law of God. Praise God. And so the man under grace cannot continue in sin. Praise God. And then Paul brings the idea that a man presents himself to a master, to someone. He says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" Praise God. Now, this brings us to understand that all men are bound to a master. And the Bible is very clear that there are only two masters that all men are bound to. Many men are bound to their master, Satan. Other men are bound to their master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is because God has created us not as autonomous beings, that is, not as beings standing alone without a master. No, God has created us as people, as creatures that are bound to a master. We must by nature, it is the nature of humanity, that we are joined to our master. We cannot sustain ourselves. The master that we are bound to controls us. We cannot control ourselves in this sense. And so Remember that the Bible teaches us that God created Adam, and Adam was bound to God in this union of creature to God, or if you will, slave to master, creature to master. Praise God. And that was a blessed relationship. You see, all men are bound in a relationship to the one we serve. That's really Paul's point here. And Paul is telling us that because this is true of human beings, that we are bound to a master, we do not control ourselves in this sense, that the unsaved man is bound to Satan and is a slave of sin, under the dominion and control of sin. And as a slave of sin, the lost man obeys his master. And the consequences of this servitude is death. Disobedience, sin, leads to death. But he also tells us that the obedient man, the slave of God, he says here, he is freed. He is no longer a slave of sin, and he has obeyed from his very heart, praise God, in verse 17, a form of doctrine to which they were delivered. Now, this is a significant truth. This form of doctrine, or the gospel, this body of teaching is the idea in this expression, this form of doctrine, this body of instruction, this gospel declaration liberates men and frees them from slavery to sin, to the master Satan, and joins them and binds them to a new master, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, and through Christ to the Father, praise God, and the Spirit of God who works in this great way of joining the person spiritually to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the gospel is a form of doctrine. And again, as I often encourage you, because I am so encouraged by the teaching of the Bible, the form of doctrine, Christians are truly students in the school of Christ, and we must receive the doctrine. Indeed, in doing so, we find our liberty. Paul says that we were delivered to this. It means that God delivered us. Praise God. He entrusted us with the gospel, and he really, in a great sense, delivered us from spiritual slavery to death through this form of doctrine. And so the gospel delivers, praise God. And he says in verse 18, we are set free from sin. And now, by nature of our humanity, we are bound as a servant. We are not self-autonomous in this sense, and we have been made slaves of righteousness. Praise God. Now, again, don't let the word slave or slavery here prevent you from seeing the glorious truth in the illustration of slavery, because Paul explains in verse 19 why it is, how it is that he uses the very term slave. And he says there, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. And what he means by this is that he is using this illustration from everyday life of the time to bring forth in the illustration the great spiritual truth that we find in the reality of slavery. It's really an analogy that can be understood. And in understanding the illustration, we see the truths that human beings are, in this sense, by nature servants, or again, if you will, slaves, bound to a controlling person, a person that has dominion over them. In this sense, a master. And so, understanding the illustration helps us to see the reality of spiritual slavery and also the reality of the truth that Christians are now slaves of righteousness, slaves of God. Though they were slaves of sin, they were enslaved to Satan. Praise God. And the result of slavery to Christ is holiness. He tells us there in verse 19. He says, the man who is bound to Satan and serves Satan presents himself and uses the members of his body, of his being, in this slavery of uncleanness. In other words, he commits lawlessness, which then leads to more lawlessness. You see the progressive nature of sin and lawlessness in this. A man who is bound as a slave of uncleanness to unrighteousness, to evil, uses himself and his various parts are used in this uncleanness and lawlessness and then further lawlessness and then further lawlessness. And so Paul now calls spiritual slaves, Christians bound to righteousness, to present themselves and their members, that is their parts, as slaves of righteousness for holiness. And just as it is that lawlessness leads to more lawlessness, so it is that holiness leads to growth in sanctification and grace. That is the inherent principle in righteousness. Just as the inherent principle of lawlessness is that it leads to more lawlessness. And so in this sense, Christian believers are progressively sanctified. And this means God makes us holy when he joins us to Christ. And we grow in practical holiness, praise God. And so it is that you see there is this great principle of going from glory to glory, of being a slave of righteousness for holiness and growth in sanctification, practically holy living. In verse 20, Paul brings the idea that when believers were unsaved, slaves of sin, they were free in regard to righteousness. Praise God. It means that when they were lost in unbelievers, they were not bound, they were not under the dominion of righteousness. But when they were saved, then they became ashamed of the fruit, the result of unrighteousness and what sin brought about. Sin always brings shame. Believers are ashamed of what they were and what they did and the fruit, the result of what they did, the consequences. Because the consequence of those things, of sin, is death. But Paul says, now having been set free from sin, you see so clearly, having become slaves of God, to be set free from sin means that we are bound to Christ, slaves of God, and we have, as a consequence of our holiness in Christ, of our godliness in Christ, we have fruit to holiness, he says. We are sanctified. Our actions, the consequences of our actions are to holiness, and the final result of being set free from sin and being enslaved to God is everlasting life. Praise God. Verse 23, a great gospel declaration. The wages or the payment of sin is death. The spiritual slave bound to Satan is paid with death. The recompense for his actions, for his slavery, his sinfulness is death. But there is a free gift, undeserved, that we cannot earn, which God simply gives to those who receive it, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The free gift, so much greater than the wages of sin, is eternal life, praise God, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And so I've tried to break this down a little bit directly from the verses, and I hope this is clear for you today. This is in essence what I was also sharing with you last Lord's Day. Praise God. So Christians are the emancipated people of God. Christians are set free from slavery to sin and death and bound by God to the Lord Jesus Christ and have become slaves of righteousness. It is their nature now. They are partakers of the divine nature to obey God. This is the habitual slant of their lives. They habitually follow Christ. Christians, we habitually turn from our sins. Amen. Praise God. And so this is simply a wonderful truth. And let me share with you, too, that I made a few simple diagrams from the teaching last week to help my wife. And I want to share this with you rather quickly. I hope this will help you today, too. The unsaved man is a self called the old man. That's the term that Paul uses here in Romans chapter 6. And the old man, that is the unsaved man, the self, the unregenerated self, has also an old nature, the Adamic fallen nature. And so the old man is totally lost in his sins. His self, the old man, is wicked, completely wicked, and he has this completely wicked old nature. But the regenerated man is, in a sense, a new self, because the old man, the old self, dies, and the new man, is the term the Bible uses, has come to be. He is born again. He becomes a new man, a new creation. And yet the new man, if we could call it the new self, if you will, the real man in essence, has yet an old nature, the fallen nature, the Adamic nature, remaining. And so a Christian is a new creature with a remaining fallen nature. Praise God. The term that's used for the remaining fallen nature illustrates the principle of the fallen nature, that is, that sin yet resides in it. This is called the body of sin. Now, again, this is simply an illustration. Paul is using the illustration from a human body, which has various parts, hands and feet, a head, legs, arms, organs, a heart, a liver, kidneys, etc. And so Paul uses the illustration of a body with its parts. The word there is members. And this is what we see in his teaching, that this fallen part of us called the body of sin has within it, because it is the old nature, lust, or this principle of evil that entices the person, the redeemed man, to sin. And so the new man's struggle is with the remaining sin, which works through this evil desire that is yet remaining in his actual physical body and in the remaining parts of him, his mind, heart, and will, that yet contain sin. And so in his physical body, in his fallen heart, mind, and will, again, this is called the old nature, we see the illustration, and Paul calls it a body of sin with lust, with evil in it. And this evil moves or fights against the Holy Spirit who dominates the new man. Praise God. The man in his essence is redeemed. But the sin working through a desire for evil, for the man to sin, remember sin proceeds from lawlessness to lawlessness, fights against the spiritual man. The man is dominated by the Spirit. He habitually resists this desire to sin, which is constantly conflicting with him. And because the new man has holy desires, he habitually dies or mortifies or crucifies the body of sin. In other words, he doesn't act on the evil desires which are found in the body of sin. This old nature is also called the body of sin and death. It is corrupted. And so it is corrupted because of evil in it. And the evil in us, in our fallen nature, leads us to sin, but we overcome this leading to sin, this desire for sin, this temptation to sin that arises from the wickedness in us by, praise God, God's grace, the new man who is empowered by God's grace, mortifies these evil desires. He kills them. He kills them as though they are nailed to a cross. He doesn't act on them. And he habitually obeys God, praise God, through this sufficient, all-powerful grace. You see, again, the Christian is really dominated by grace, which is so much more powerful than sin. Praise God. That's why, by definition, a believer is one who does not habitually sin. Because the ruling principle of his life is grace. Praise God. And grace conquers evil. And so, though he is tempted by the evil within him, he is tempted by the evil in the world, he is tempted by the devil, but he overcomes these temptations, he does not sin habitually, and he follows Christ in real, practical holiness. Again, we call this sanctification. And so the Christian is a new man, praise God, who fights against the remaining sinful nature, here called the body of death, praise God. And today, again, we're ending with this thought. The principle of grace dominates, prevails in his life because he is indeed a new creation, a new creature in Christ. Well, I've gone very long today. I've gone quite over the time, but forgive me for that. I pray that this has been helpful to you. We'll continue to talk about these glorious truths next Lord's Day morning as God enables us. Father, bless the lovely truth that we've discovered again today, perhaps with a new perspective, perhaps with a new insight, and we give you thanks and praise for it. Bless the people of God, the dear people of God, new creations in Christ, and bring people to Christ and make them to be new creations through this teaching and truth. We ask it in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.